I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up in Faith Matters, we look at a decision by the Vatican to make it easier for disaffected Anglicans to join the Roman Catholic Church. We'll ask about what motivated the move and how the Anglicans are responding. But first, our weekly political chat. All week, we've been talking about the politics of healthcare as the various overhaul plans are finally making their way through the congressional committees. Earlier this week, we talked with two senators, both Democrats, but with very different perspectives on how healthcare should be addressed. Today, we go to the House. Our guest is House Majority Whip James Clyburn. He's a Democrat who represents the 6th District of South Carolina. And as a member of the leadership, he has his hands on virtually every significant issue to come before the Congress. And he joins us now by phone. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Before we go to health care, I wanted to ask about a measure that just passed the Senate. The Senate yesterday passed a bill that would add assaults on gays and lesbians or assaults on people because of their sexual orientation as a hate crime. And it's been many years in the making. The House passed a measure previously, so the bill is now expected to go to the president for his signature. Do you think he should sign it?
Oh, absolutely. We've been trying to do this for a number of years now. And, of course, the Senate had great difficulty doing it. They finally attached it to a defense bill and sent it to us that way after we sent it to them as freestanding. And we got enough votes to pass that and send it back to them. And I'm glad to know that the president will be able to sign what I think is a measure that's long overdue.
Why do you think it's long overdue?
Well, because I think all of us know that Matthew Shepard stays in my mind. His mother, who I got a chance to meet and to see what agony she and the rest of her family was put through, all because of someone's perceived sexual orientation. That's absolutely no reason. I don't know if any reason for you to go out and just beat somebody to death, but this kind of crime is just beyond the pale. And I just believe that it happens more often than we like to admit. We do know that this kind of crime is just atrocious. It's almost like going out, as we used to have lynchings, because of people's skin color. It's the same thing no matter how you cut it.
There are those religious groups who have, some conservative religious leaders have expressed the concern that this measure could be used to criminalize speech critical of homosexuality and other issues like that. Do you think that that's a legitimate concern?
Absolutely not. I have met with many of those ministers. I had real debates with some of them two or three years ago. In fact, I read some pretty harsh things they had to say about me for having the position that I have. But I don't take the back seat to anybody when it comes to this. I think I understand Scripture and its teachings as much as anybody, and I see nowhere in the Scripture that this law is in a way insulting to. This is not about speech. This is about people's actions. You can preach whatever you want to preach from the pulpit, but you can't come down out of that pulpit and beat somebody up with a Bible.
And speaking, one more question on the question of the sort of the national climate, or more specifically, I would say the climate in South Carolina. Earlier this month, the Charleston Post and Courier reported on comments that they say you made suggesting that the White House had been cool to invitations for First Lady Michelle Obama to visit South Carolina, in part because they had security concerns. Specifically, you are quoted as saying a lot of it has to do with the fact that the climate in South Carolina just is not good, and that's a shame. What were you talking about? Are you talking about her physical safety? Or are you talking about rudeness? Or what were you talking about?
I was talking about rudeness and bad behavior. I have not talked to anybody in the White House about security. Somebody took it to security. I talked about the way leaders of the Republican Party in South Carolina have been insulting to the president's wife. One Republican talking about one of the gorillas that escaped from the zoo there in Columbia, saying, don't worry about that. That's probably just one of Mrs. Obama's or Michelle Obama's relatives acting up or something of that effect. We've seen this kind of behavior time and time again. Within the last 2 days, we've seen two chairs of the Republican Party, Orangeburg County Chair, Bamberg County Chair, both having insulting things to say about Jews. There is just something wrong with the Republican Party in South Carolina. They tolerate this kind of foolishness. And what I was saying is, I don't feel like inviting Mrs. Obama to South Carolina to have people insulting her. I never talked about security. I've never had any security discussions with anybody about her safety.
So, well, just to tie a bow on it, all the individuals that you mentioned, first, Rusty DePass apologized for his comment on Facebook about Mrs. Obama's relatives, which was exactly as you said. And there are two, of course, as you said, state party chairs who made comments that referred to a stereotype about Jews and their attitude toward money. They've also apologized. Do you think that puts an end to it?
No, absolutely not. My Lord. I mean, how many times do you apologize? So you say anything you want to say, and then if I apologize, it's all over. This kind of behavior can't be tolerated. We have got to restore polite discourse to the political arena, and you're not going to do that by ignoring what people say. My dad used to tell me all the time, son, silence gives consent. And so we cannot consent to that kind of behavior by staying silent about it.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and I'm speaking with House Majority Whip James Clyburn of South Carolina. Just one more issue before we get to health care. The Vice President Dick Cheney has accused the Obama administration of dithering over its strategy to implement in Afghanistan. And as, of course, you know, that there's been a discussion about whether more troops are needed in Afghanistan or not. The top general leading the effort in Afghanistan says there are, and President Obama has said that he's taking the matter under review. What is your assessment of this question?
Well, I think what is deliberating to President Obama may be dithering to former Vice President Cheney. He's going to be an attack dog time and time again. So if we can keep them talking about his currency, we won't be looking into what he was doing when he was in those undisclosed locations for 8 years.
Let's move on to health care. As we previously discussed on the program, 30 Democratic senators signed a letter earlier this week to the leadership saying that a final bill must include, or that they would prefer that a final health care overhaul bill include something called a public option. That would be a government-sponsored health care plan that would be allowed to compete with private insurers. There was new polling information released this week that said that the public, a majority of the public, now supports this idea and also supports a mandate, which is something that was very unpopular just a couple of months ago. On the other hand, there a number of senators who've been very outspoken about how they can't support a public option. They think it's a bad idea. I'd like to ask you, what's the sense of the House on this question?
I think the House will approve a bill with the public option. Michelle, what we've been debating about, it's kind of interesting to me. Back in August, when we got back here after a very stormy August recess, there were people who were saying health care reform is dead. About the middle of September, they started saying, well, there may be some form of a reform, but the public option is off the table. That I heard I don't know how many times. Now, all of a sudden, people are saying, well, there is going to be a public option, but what form of a public option will they have? Will they have a, quote, robust public option, or will they have some other form of a public option? The question to me is, do we pass reform legislation that will include a competition? And however we label it, you know, I have been calling it Medicare Part E. Now, you can define Medicare Part E as you wish, but Medicare is a public option. It is a single-payer system. And most people seem to be okay with Medicare Part E. So if Medicare is in fact a public option, is in fact a single-payer system, and we can expand Medicare to another part, Part E, that will be a public option. So that's all we're debating now, is what form will it take?
Just if I could just clarify, Medicare is a program for seniors. And when you say Medicare Part E, you're using it in a way as kind of tongue-in-cheek, but E meaning everybody. You're not saying that a public option will only be for certain groups. Is that? I just wanted to clarify that.
Well, the public option is there for choice. Everybody won't choose the public option. CBO tells us that if you put a public option into this exchange, this insurance marketplace that we call an exchange, You put it alongside all of the private policies there. Most people I know who get Medicare also have public policies, because Medicare will do reimburse for certain things, but when they get the other kinds of things that they would like to feel protected, they go out into the private market and get private insurance. All we're saying is those people who are insurance companies doing business in this exchange, we will have this public option right alongside you, so that if your rates get out of hand, you will have competition from a public policy.
I'm just curious though, why you're so confident that a bill containing a public option will pass the House, because a lot of the objection that we've been hearing comes not just from Republicans, but also from Democrats who consider themselves moderates and conservatives. And the argument has been that, A, the politics of their district don't permit it, and, B, philosophically, they don't support it. So I'm just interested to know, well, you are the vote-counting guy, but yeah, why you're so convinced that a public option will pass the House?
Because I think the votes are there for a public option. We are dithering, if I might use that word, over what form will it take. So that's what we're debating here, whether or not it will be mandated, whether or not it will be a public option with a state option as to whether or not you want to participate. So we will have a public option. We just have to deal with the form.
House Majority Whip James Clyburn, he represents the 6th District of South Carolina. He was kind enough to join us from his office at the Capitol. Congressman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.